I was appreciating that reading because my thoughts, my text of the lesson was from actually Jeremiah the 6th chapter. So we're going to be talking about some of the same thing. We're seeing here various reasons that in the reading that we saw, that we read, why Israel departed from God. And why does that happen? Why do Christians today can be so strong and then yet they begin to fade away? Why is it that we as individuals a lot of times just completely seem like God isn't as important to us as He should be? Now, I know there are times in my life where I have allowed things to interrupt my processing abilities with God, and I have asked myself that question. What has caused me to depart from God? I have complete faith in what God has done from the creation to sustaining His creation. But then I have to ask myself, why am I not feeling the joy or the strength or whatever it may be needed so that I would want to follow after God? And sometimes I think I confuse that thought with, why am I not fellowshipping in the assembly, or I don't have the joy of the assembly like I do at other times. But also I need to include the thought about what am I doing in my everyday life, in my thought process, and in the spirit of having the Spirit of God dwell in me and work in me, and I can go out with these joyful, committed attitudes every day in my life about God. There are also other reasons why people depart from God, and they allow things to sort of just slowly, in a small size, drift in. And I'm talking mostly about churches here, congregations, until finally, at one point, you would not recognize them as being the church that God wants us to be. We received a card recently in the mail from a Blue Springs body, religious body, and it's talking, has pictures on it. And it talks about different things that on the back, just a short notice of what all they do. And looking at that, I come up with the same thing that Jeremiah is talking about here, where they just keep adding things that is a feel-good nature, so we must do it, and this is what is really going to make a difference for us in our spiritual lives, especially in heaven. But we see some things that we as the church, the body of Christ here, also observe. They have times of worship service. They have the Kaboom kids class, whatever that is. And they have early childhood care. And as I look at these things, well, yes, there's worship service that is necessary. Hebrews chapter 10, 23, 24, 25, and through all those right in there, is talking about what we do when we fellowship one another, that we build each other up. That's good. But also our worship is something, though, that can take place not only as with a group, but we can be involved in our worship to God on a daily basis in the things that we think, say, and do. A lot of congregations have really excelled in taking the place of mom and dad and their responsibility in the home in having their specialized kids class. I do not mean to say this thing wrongly, but it is a 6-day responsibility in the home to be able to teach the children in the home, to give them responsibility and directions for that will make them what they should be the rest of their lives. It's not up to a special classroom or a special event. Not that those things are wrong, but it's not should be left solely up to that to conform the child to what he should be. I hope that I am not angering anyone. But moms and dads, you need to start being moms and dads and doing the characteristics of what moms and dads should be. And I see that I'm not talking really to someone that has any small children here with them right now. We can go and look at this same congregation in this crowd that was given in to me, and it says on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. that we can have an adult Bible study. Is anything wrong with that? No, we could have it on Tuesday and whatever. Down in Oklahoma where I grew up, the days were long out there, and there's a logging industry, so we didn't have our Wednesday night Bible study until Saturday night. You know, but we did. We had that. Okay, then here at Wednesday night, too, we can also engage our youth. Anything wrong with that? No, there probably isn't anything wrong with that. But we need to be engaging our youth 7 days a week, or the other 6 days by Sunday. We can ignite kids. And I look at that and I think, well, yeah, there's some kids you'd like to set on fire. And we have early childhood classes. There's nothing wrong with having classes for kids and classes for a baby. I don't think there's anything wrong. I think it's very polite to have a nursery. And mothers should use it correctly and use it right. I mean, can use it because it helps in the another form of the fellowship that we had. We do it quite modernly anymore compared to what it was when I was a boy or a child. And then you're invited to some special occasions. On September the 8th, there's going to be a ladies' light night at 5:30. Is there anything wrong with having a ladies' night? I suppose not. Does that mean you want to go? I've seen these signs on these bars that says ladies' nights. Then on October the 28th, we're going to have a costume carnival at 2 p.m. I don't know if I'll go for that or not exactly in any way. I mean, there's some people that look like they're wearing some weird costumes anyway out there, and sometimes I imagine you think that when you look at me, there's a guy that doesn't wear a tie and he doesn't wear a suit and he doesn't do this or that. He kind of looks like he's a little bit out of shape and all, you know. I've got to say this. Gary Fritz and I have three things in common that I know of tonight. And I bet you guys really didn't think about it. But in our costume, we have belts that are exactly alike. Got this little joke thing going on. Same manufacturer, same everything, except his, I imagine, is smaller than mine. And then we also have bald heads. Mine's a little bit more extreme than what his is. You know what the third one is? Would anybody want to guess what the third one is that we're like tonight? Huh?
Both sing songs.
Both sing songs?
Both smart road.
Okay. No, we both have gray-headed wives. But those other two are nice to mention. I surely probably put them up there except for the gray-headed wives. Both of them are wonderful wives. So as we look at these things, and we, on December the 24th, I did not intend to spend as much time on this card. We have a Christmas candlelight at 10 a.m. How many of these things were necessary? We have a world in which we, in all seriousness now, that we have entertainment of some sort that is pulling us away from the simplicity of the plan of God. We're not really worried about redemption so much. All we got to do is ask Him into our hearts, and everything is just going to be kaboom natural. I think I read that word, kaboom, up here somewhere. Might be able to kind of keep it there. It's going to be there. Jeremiah, as he is reading, as he is speaking here, he says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear?" In other words, as we read in the 8th chapter and the 7th chapter, that there's not anybody out there listening. When they came up upon Custer, you know, General Custer, and they finally got there, all these soldiers are dead. And the Indian squaws are out there, and they're sticking awls, you know, the thing that they punch leather with or whatever, needle, into his ears. And when they asked him, "Why are you doing this?" he would not listen, and we're cleaning out his ears. We're opening up that passageway. People are not listening to what needs to be said. "Behold, the word of the Lord has become a reproach to them." He's saying that's why they're departing from God. "They have no delight in the word," in it. Boy, I was enjoying that reading that we had here because of just what it said there. "But I am full of wrath," says the Lord. "I am weary from holding it in." Won't you listen to me? Except he's not grabbing you by the collar and shaking you, although he probably needs to be that way. "I pour it out on the children in the street and in the gathering of young men together. For both husband and wife shall be taken. The aged and the very old is going to be taken. And their houses will be turned over to others. Their fields and their wives together, for I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, declares the Lord." Why? Because they have departed from God. And the promises of all these things that He would give them and grant them and allow them to have even physically, they're going to lose it because they are departing from the covenant of God that they have before them. He says, from the least of them to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain. And from the prophet even to the priest, everybody deals falsely. And they have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, "Peace, peace," but there is no peace. I read that and I think about how many times has America been involved in going, how many presidents has made it their initiative to go over and say, "Well, we're going to make peace with Israel and some of the other countries that are around them." I know one president did, and I remember the night that I got alerted to go back to war, seemed like, back in the 70s there. And I sliced that finger open real bad as I shut off a light switch too quickly. I was mad. I joined the Army Reserve after being a soldier in Vietnam and going through some of that stuff over there. And then here I am going to go back and fight. We digest Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. And what he has written, we see that the departure of the nation of Israel from God is caused by many reasons. And I'm only going to just finish off talking about one of them. A departure from any glorious state is ugly. It is ugly to God, and the people who look sometimes back in hindsight thinks how ugly it is for them, especially godly people. But a lot of times when some failures go on in the church or in God's kingdom, there are innocent people who are hurt. There has been divisions caused by murmurers and complainers, by people who have not looked at the body as something that they can be a piece of, but they have been divisionary, they've been wrathful, they've been hateful, they've been a lot of things because things don't seem to be going the way they think it should be go and what God has done for them. I believe with all of my heart there will be many on that day when the Lord will say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, because you were so caught up in yourself that you caused people to lose their faith." I think that will happen. It is not good to turn from righteous living under the oversight of God to a life of living in error. And that's what the Israels, those of Judah, the last remaining tribes there in Jerusalem he's talking to today, or in the southern tribe, what they were doing. It broke God's heart whenever they departed and the 10 tribes went up, you know, into Dan and up in that area there earlier. And here it is, the most, the core, you might say, of the 12 tribes of the inheritance that lived around Jerusalem. And here they are now following suit after the same thing. How disappointed God must have been. It says in 2 Peter chapter 2, 21, 22, says, "For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness." Now, he's talking to Christians here. "But it would have been better for the children of Israel not to even tasted the life of freedom from the drudgery of Egypt. But then to having known it, and to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them." So as we compare the two of Israel now also to the Christian and to the church, it would have been better if we'd never known about Christianity than to have kicked it in the teeth and sent it on its way. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, "A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having been washed, to wallowing in the mire." Departure from the safety and the bliss of God's righteousness is not a choice that God wants His children to do. You know, one of the reasons, and the reason is, and my final thought here, found in Judges 17, we find that God is no longer the first priority in our lives. And it says this about the people at that time, especially we would study more about Micah, the one who robbed his mother. She put out a bounty on whoever that robber was, and Micah realized, "Well, I've got to go back and I'll confess up." And he gave his mother his 1,100 shekels back. So, since he'd put out a reward or a bounty or a curse, which would contain these things, on the thief, and it turns out to be her own child, she tries to work a way in which he wouldn't be punished as severely as what could have taken place if the wrong people got hold of him first. But anyway, there that is a whole lesson within itself. But it said, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Folks, whenever we have God losing priority in our lives, we will start doing what is right in our own eyes. Whenever we stop allowing God to control us by the covenants that He has made with us, even covenants of morality and ethics, we are going to have a pell-mell mess out there because people are going to be doing their own things and promoting their own ideas of what justification and salvation are. Folks, today there have been millions of people who've met together, quote unquote, to worship God. And I'm afraid there's also millions of people today who have not worshiped God in such a way that God has accepted it. We no longer have people who want to worship God in the simplicity, you know, speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, but now we have orchestras. We have special choirs. We have special entertainers. And some of these are the reason that some churches are growing. Some churches are growing the way they are. Because they're entertaining. If it takes trinkets and bells to grow a church, it's going to take trinkets and bells to keep a church. And that's not what God wants. Be strong and be of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Don't shove him out. God is telling that to Joshua. Be strong. Be brave. We need to know that we need to make Jesus and God, if you will, the King of our lives, so that we won't be like what they're saying there in Judges. There was no king, and everybody did exactly what he wanted to do, what he thought he wanted to do. Today I quit, and I stop early in my lesson, but before we get too far. But I think Jeremiah, the reading that you had today, was so wonderful to hear and comparing it to the thoughts that we have not only in the church, but as American people. If you're not a Christian, and I don't know everyone here, the simplicity of the gospel is this. Jesus Christ came to establish a new covenant with man from God. He had been planning to do that. He asked us to repent of our ways, to seek out God, to start listening to what God has said. It's not a thing that we have to all be able to stand up here or go on a TV show and announce our gospel to him, the gospel to him. No. There are, as I was explaining to one earlier at Smart Road, we have arteries, we have veins, we have capillaries, we have corpuscles, we have part of the arteries carrying fresh blood down to the extremities of our body, and then we have another group of arteries that is bringing it back to our heart so it can be recycled. And you know, every one of those things take a little bit of difference. There's a little difference in each one, way one of them acts. And that's the way it is. Jesus Christ, our artery, our blood, our life-giving artery has died for us. And then we repent. We make up our minds that we're going to do away with the world of flesh out there. we're going to confess Jesus in our lives, not only before men now, but for the rest of our lives. And we are immersed for the remission of sins. It's as plain as day, but so many people want to bypass all of that. It's simple. And then we come out of the water of baptism, which represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And then we ascend out of that water. Jesus Christ ascended out of his death, out of his grave, to sit at the right-hand side of God, to co-rule, if you would call it that, or to rule everything here. And then we ascend out of the water of our baptism to walk in newness of life. If that invitation is yours that you need to follow, it needs to be done. Shall we stand and sing?